eyes, nostrils and ears are pairs of gates situated in one place. The mouth, genital and rectum are also different gates. Being placed into a body, having these nine gates, the living entity acts externally in the material world and enjoys sense objects like form and taste. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Not being aware of his spiritual position, the living entity, directed by the mind, goes out through the nine gates to enjoy material objects. Because of long association with material objects, he forgets his real spiritual activities and is thus misled. The entire world is going on being misled by so-called leaders like scientists and philosophers who have no knowledge of the spirit soul. Thus the conditioned soul becomes more and more entangled. Akshini nasike karno mukham shishna gudaviti dve dve dvaram bahe yati yastad indriya sangyutaha. The eyes, nostrils and ears are pairs of gates situated in one place. The mouth, genital and rectum are also different gates. Being placed into a body having these nine gates, the living entity acts externally in the material world and enjoys sense objects like form and taste. Omagyana timarandasya dinandana shalakaya chakshuru militangjena tasmai shi guruve namaha. Vanchakalpaturubhyascha kripashindubhyevacha pititanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasati Gaura Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Let's try and analyze this verse and see how it's relevant to us. After all, we're all in one of these cities with a number of gates. Here also Srila Prabhupada criticizes so-called learned people, so that's perhaps relevant as we're situated next to or connected to Bhaktivedanta College. I'm not sure whether he's Srila Prabhupada's criticizing Bhaktivedanta College here. I hope not. There are those who criticize academia amongst devotees. Perhaps we could understand this a little better, why Srila Prabhupada is criticizing. After all, there is a tendency in spiritual or religious movements to criticize those who are others, you may have noticed. As if somehow or other, by putting down others, we somehow become more elevated. There is a tendency to do that. And that's the material consciousness, by the way. We think that by putting down others, somehow or other, we become more elevated. Like a seesaw. If I go up, you go down. But actually, we need to understand why Srila Prabhupada is perhaps criticizing the so-called scholars here. I think he mentions philosophers and scientists here. What time does class finish?
8:30.
So there's a number of apertures to the body mentioned here. And previous verse, the body has been described as a kind of form with nine gates, and attached to it are two arms and two legs. Kind of succinct description of the human anatomy. Previously, I think some other living entities were described as having one leg, two legs, three legs, four legs, many legs, or no legs. No legs are snakes. One leg is a ghost. Ghost has one leg, considered to have one leg. So if you're attacked by them, you can tell them to hop off. Two legs, human beings. Three legs, an old person with a stick or a cane. And four legs, of course, the quadrupeds, the animals. And then many legs, like centipedes, millipedes, and so on. So human beings are being described here. Some of the apertures are being described, certain apertures are described as being in pairs, and there's good reason for that. The ears, for example, we have stereophonic vision. Hearing. We can hear. And actually it's interesting to note that actually we get a real sense of direction from our hearing. Recently I had one problem with one of my ears, and it was awful. I didn't get a kind of sound, an idea of where everything was, particularly if you're in traffic and you want to know where cars are coming from and so on. There's a big problem these days that everyone's plugged in. You know what I mean? Plugged in. And they say in England, some of the organisations that actually look after traffic accidents and try and promote road safety are worried by these zombies, they call them, who are walking around. There's an increase in the, what do they call them? Pedestrians. They're pedestrians as they're plugged in. So you get a sense of direction through your ears. And previously, even the Kshatriyas, the warriors, could actually fire an arrow not based on vision, but on hearing. And of course, that concept is there, seeing by hearing, Shastri Chakshus. We actually get that. We see things, darshan, we see by hearing through Shastra. Other animals can actually sometimes see with other senses. When I was young, I met someone, a friend, a neighbor, with a dog who was blind. And that dog used to get around very well by smelling. I remember he bumped into a pole once. but generally speaking, he could get away, but get around by the sense of smell. You'll notice dogs, they're generally following the nose.
The bats
also, they're blind, so they actually send that radar signals, don't they? And they actually detect how far away it is. Yeah, amazing how sophisticated the senses are. The eyes, of course, most of us have two eyes. I think the exception was Cyclops. There's a Greek figure who had one eye. But you need two eyes also to get a sense of distance. And nostrils. Apparently, according to the Ayurveda, at any time of the day, we're breathing in through one nostril predominantly, and a bit later we're breathing in through the other one. There's a whole kind of science of this. We could get into that. There's a purpose even for having two nostrils, actually. So these are three of the knowledge acquiring senses. The ears correspond to sense objects and the corresponding element. The ear is ether. So hearing is connected to ether. The eyes are connected to light. And the nostrils are connected to air and the sense of smell. And we have other senses of the five objects. Taste. Fortunately, we only have one mouth. If we had a pair of mouths as well, but one is enough. The problems we have with either speaking too much or eating too much. So water, that corresponds to the element of water. And finally, we have the element air, which corresponds to the organ of the... Sometimes it's called an organ, the skin. Although the sense of touch is also related quite strongly to one of the five working senses, particularly the reproductive organs. So that sensual pleasure is touch. The other, the mouth, even though it's singular, has two functions. Because it's actually not, it's a knowledge-acquiring sense, but it's also the communicating sense as well. So communication, reproduction, the arms are the, if you like, the labor department. You've got the communications department. Here a city is being described. So you've got the communications department, the working or labor department. The legs are the transport department. And then we've got the, we've mentioned reproduction. And we've also got the waste disposal department. They're going on in any city. So it's a good analogy. So there's a connection between the nine gates of the body, with the nine gates, two arms, two legs as well, and the ten senses. There's a connection here. There's two sets of senses. They both correspond to the five elements. So the five knowledge-acquiring senses that we described correspond to the five elements. So do the working senses. I'm not sure exactly, I had a little trouble working out the exact relationship, but I know that the evacuating sense is connected to earth, for example, and all the other senses are, there's a match, according to Sankhya philosophy, between the five elements and the five knowledge-acquiring senses, and between the five elements and the five working senses as well. So generally we have these two sets of senses, so therefore the self is known as the knower and the doer. Two sets of sense objects. One is for knowledge and the other is for doing. So it's about how we see the world, perceive the world, and how we respond to the world. Two sets of senses, the knower and the doer. However, there's another... this is interesting because we're discussing a little bit. There's an allusion to education here, learning. And in education, generally, there's three what we call domains of learning. Jai Bhadra, you'll know about this. The three domains of learning, knowledge, skills, which is action. So these are mentioned here. Knowledge and skills. Knowledge through the knowledge-acquiring senses. Skills relate to the working senses. How we act, action in the world. Jnana and karma, if you like. But there's another set of... there's another domain of learning in education. The third one, which is to do with values. Interesting, those values have got a lot to do with the self. It's to do with being. There's doing, there's knowing, and there's being. To be humble. To be clean, and so on. And it's interesting, actually, because... trying to get my continuity here. Yeah, there seems to be a lack of values if we don't understand the self. And the purport here... is that actually the learned men in modern society generally don't appreciate the existence of the self. There is this city of nine gates, but there is a person who's travelling throughout that city. With a little reflection, we can understand that actually we can move our consciousness around this body. We can meditate on a particular part of the body and move our consciousness around. So Srila Prabhupada mentions certain types of leaders, the learned men, the Brahmins. And the notion here is, it's interesting how we're misled by both the senses and by society is misled by these so-called leaders. The mistake they make is they think that we see, we could examine this, we see with the eyes. This is the mistake. However, we see through the eyes. And here, of course, a metaphor is being used. Here the metaphor is of the city and the person who's wandering through the city. Actually, interestingly, in the broad Vedic tradition, metaphor is often used as a type of authority. Praman, evidence, valid evidence. Not so much in Vedanta, we usually just have Anuman, Prachaksha and Shabda. Just to let you know, we have three actually, we don't just have Shabda. Anuman and Prachaksha are also important. In other of the darshans, the systems of philosophy, I forget which, but some particularly use metaphor as a source of evidence. So they're very useful to understand, to explain. Srila Prabhupada uses a lot of analogies. So there's another analogy we could explore, and that is of the vehicle, Yantra Rudani Maya. Yantra means a machine or a vehicle. So this body is like a vehicle. By the way, have you ever noticed how relevant to this, how vehicles are quite similar to the body as described here? Very interesting. I remember when I was about 7 or 8, I was waiting for my father to come home, and it was in winter, and I'd see all the cars with the headlights coming in down the road, and I was waiting for him to come home, and it crossed my mind, why are cars like cars? I was about 7 or 8 years old. Why can't they be different than cars? Strange thought. But I was actually thinking, could it be completely different? Because a car seems to have a particular form. It's not dissimilar to a chariot or rata. But they actually, the point I'm trying to make here, is they actually seem to resemble living beings, the bodies of living beings in many ways. And we could explore that, actually. I mean, we hear in the spiritual world of swan aeroplanes. Forget Thai Air. You know, this is really the best high quality travel, first class. Not business class, because they don't have business there. There's no work. But an aeroplane so closely resembles a bird. It's got wings. It's got tail. It's got wheels instead of the two legs. And some of them, like Concorde, as it used to be, a very sharp beak. But more importantly, it's also got, in the head, the cockpit, a couple of, very often it is, two windscreens. Even some of them, you see, they've got windscreen wipers on aeroplanes, you'll notice. The point is, here, well, firstly, it resembles. I mean, sometimes the children seem to grasp this better than us, don't they? You see, they'll paint a car, and they'll have the two headlamps, there'll be eyes there. Everything is living. A living being for children. We can call that childish, but maybe it's an intuition, actually. So the headlights are there for seeing. Yesterday, we borrowed the college car, and we used this TomTom, you know, the satellite navigation system. First time I've used one. I couldn't get it right. Partly because it didn't notice there were some roadworks. Anyway, but at one point, me and my wife, we said, we need to stop someone to ask the way. So we were trying to open the window. There was no winder. And I couldn't find the button for opening the window. But the point is, to hear, you have to open the two windows on the side. In a sense, a bit like ears. The nose is taking in air through the radiator, and actually the old cars used to have two nostrils. It's taking in air. There's also it's maybe not eating, but it's like drinking. Therefore we talk of gas guzzlers. These big cars, they guzzle gas, petrol. What about the working senses? It's actually got a horn to communicate. Some drivers these days prefer to use sign language. But there is actually a horn. It's got legs, kind of. Wheels, the equivalent. It's a quadruped. Quadrawheel. Whatever. 4x4. Some vehicles such as diggers and bulldozers have something to do the work, equivalent of arms. And to get rid of byproducts, it has a backside, largely passing wind, but it's definitely getting rid of. I got a little stuck for the reproductive organs. We could discuss that another time. I was thinking of tanks and other military paraphernalia, which have got a certain male aggressive... anyway, we won't go there. But it's interesting how the body is... It's a very apt example. Yantra Rudani Maya. And yet, what is interesting is if actually we cover, or somehow... Yeah, let's say cover the windscreen of a car. Sometimes you get sun covers, you can cover them. You can't see. The seeing is stopped. But the seeing is still going on. The person is still there, seeing. He can't see, but he's trying. Therefore, a blind person feels inconvenience. Because the seer is still there. In the mind's eye, we say. In the mind's eye. The seer is still there. Therefore, these are simply windows from which we're looking. It may be that if we cover the car, we're in darkness completely. Or if say you've got a submarine, a little different kind of seeing apparatus through the periscope. If that breaks, then darkness. But there is still someone there to see. And if that person who is in darkness gets out of the car or the submarine, they can see. So therefore, the understanding is that there is a seer who is actually... We don't see with the senses, we see through the senses. This is knowledge, and therefore Srila Prabhupada is actually criticizing the standard of knowledge here. And there's some interesting verses in the 18th chapter of the Gita which explain knowledge. 18th chapter. I haven't written down the numbers of the verse. I think it's verse 20 to 22, but we need to check that. Knowledge in the mode of goodness, passion and ignorance is being described. That knowledge by which one undivided spiritual form, sorry, one undivided spiritual nature is seen in all living entities, though they are divided into innumerable forms, you should understand to be in the mode of goodness. That knowledge by which one sees that in every different body there is a different type of living entity, you should understand to be in the mode of passion. And that knowledge by which one is attached to one kind of work as the all in all, without knowledge of the truth, and which is very meager, is said to be in the mode of darkness. This last verse seems to be talking about a little bit more about work and how we respond to the world. However, the last verse we could actually also see in comparison to the other two. It means there is no perception of the living being. So in goodness, there is perception of the same living entity within each and every creature. In the mode of passion, there's some understanding that there is consciousness there. We're aware that there is a person within. And in the mode of ignorance, no awareness. This is not just cognitive, but there's also a degree of... it relates to a certain amount of feeling here, or empathy. And it's interesting that those who are criminals, it's surprising, but those who study criminology and look after criminals, some of them just do not feel anything for their victims. It's not a question they're somehow... they feel and they've somehow got some way of rationalizing. They just do not get it that someone else is suffering. That is ignorance. We don't understand someone else, and we make a whole philosophy based on that. this is the learned people, a philosophy that there is no one actually experiencing that. That is darkness. In the mode of passion, there is some understanding, yes, there is a consciousness there, but we differentiate between the different types of consciousness according to gender, nationality, age, religion, academic ability, other types of a competency, and so on. So this is the real problem. This is why Srila Prabhupada criticizes those who are so-called learned people, because there's a different definition of what knowledge is. So that knowledge is really based on the understanding of the self within the body, the self within the vehicle. I'll just round up now because we've gone over a little bit. Yes, interesting. I mean, what's interesting here is that actually without knowledge of the spirit, there's no real values. There cannot be real values. Actually, when it comes to values, everyone seems to agree on them. It's hard to argue against honesty. Practically every society has some kind of intrinsic understanding of honesty. And therefore, those who actually deal with values, very often they talk about absolute values as well as relative values. So that there's a tendency for values to be connected to the self. And Srila Prabhupada mentions it. There's another important point is that even though everyone's talking about values, and they do, everyone's speaking, even the politicians, right, they'll propound the same values. But Srila Prabhupada, and I came across a quote which is very interesting. I don't have the reference, I'm sorry. But he says, without mind and sense control, there is no question of morality. Yasyasti bhaktiya bhagavat yukinchina sarvai gunas tatra samasate suraha harava bhaktasya kito mahadguna manovratain asati dhavato bihi. One who has unflinching devotion for the personality of Godhead, and that means sense control, has all the good qualities of the demigods. But one who is not a devotee of the Lord has only material qualifications that are of little value. This is because he is hovering on the mental plane, again, chariot of the mind, to use that example, and is certainly attracted by the glaring material energy. A word of warning. This speaks about devotees. Srila Prabhupada on one lecture said, we do not think ourselves to be a pure devotee. We are not so impudent. We should be careful about thinking ourselves already as having controlled the mind and senses of being on that level. That's a big trap to fall into. We should be careful of criticizing others. Rather, we should try and develop real understanding, real knowledge, deep insight, realization, and we should be able to apply that. So really we need to learn how to live successfully in this city of nine gates, somehow or other. And these gates are going to be further described in subsequent verses to this one. Thank you. Any question? 1, 2. Yes, Blank.
Yes. Thank you very much. I would like that you explain a little bit further this idea. At the first beginning of the class, you mentioned that sometimes we feel shocked when one religion speaks bad of the other religion, and sometimes it seems also that Prabhupada is despising scientists and
philosophers.
Yes. Yeah. And sometimes I also feel bad when Prabhupada says this, and I would like to have a fear, because sometimes also I understand why Prabhupada is saying it, but here it was a little bit very sharp for me, and I would like your explanation.
Srila Prabhupada is really criticizing those who don't have any understanding of the self. And in another sense, even if a person doesn't have an understanding of the self, the philosophers and scientists are a little more elevated. They tend to be in the mode of goodness. But one has to also, while trying to avoid being judgmental and critical, and that's not the quality of a devotee, by the way. The devotee is like a bee. He sees the slightest good quality and magnifies it bigger and bigger. Actually, I think that Vishwanath Chakravarti explains this. I'm not sure, but there's some very good literature on this, how I think even the highest stage, there's no good quality. He sees good qualities, practically speaking. Just like in the opposite, one who's critical, there's no fault, but he'll see a fault. But at the same time, one's got to be discerning. Therefore, it's mentioned in the towards the end of the second chapter of the first canto of the Bhagavatam that those who are devotees of the Lord are certainly non-envious, yet they reject the ghastly and horrible forms of the demigods and only worship the supreme, blissful form of the personality of God, something like that. Very interesting statement there. It's actually saying, we're not criticizing because we're envious, worship of the demigods. See, devotees are not envious, but still they don't worship. So it's kind of alluding to the fact that actually much discernment, if you like, or so-called discernment, is based on criticism. So therefore we have to be careful to discern properly. And Srila Prabhupada is explaining that if you don't have that knowledge of the self, then you're not truly learning. And there'll be different degrees of philosophers who have appreciated the self. And many of the Western philosophers had an appreciation of the self. Generally speaking, the challenge, I think, with much Western philosophy is it tends to equate the self with the mind. And that is the definition of dualism in Western philosophy, is the mind come soul, body duality. Whereas the Vedic tradition doesn't lump together the true self with the mind. It makes a clear differentiation, self, mind, body. That's a bit of a difference. Srila Prabhupada is perhaps saying that those who don't have that spiritual understanding are imperfect in their knowledge. Does that help? Good. Nataji. Yes. Yes. That's right. That the senses can go inward or outward. There is an inner world as well. There's an inner aspect of the senses, and therefore the yogi who's practicing the Astanga yoga process draws in those senses. Yamaniyama asana pratyahara. Pratyahara. It's a question of bringing the senses inward. I don't know much more about it actually, but the senses are, so he's going out, the senses are going outward, but they can also go the opposite way, and therefore we can look inwards. Would anyone like to elaborate on that? Mother Jayabad. That's true, the consciousness tends to go out as well, yes. It tends to get lost out there, as it were. Yeah. It's not fixed on its inner self. I might come back to you. Do you want to carry on with that point?
Yes.
Oh, that point, okay, carry on, then I'll take another question.
Is the senses, you can see the other behavior, but you can be introspective and you see your behavior.
Yeah.
And then analyze yourself, what are you doing? Towards this question.
Yeah,
this is the meditation and the psychoanalysis, for example.
Yeah, introspection. I mean, the very word introspection means spectator, we have in English, intra. So instead of looking outwards, we're introspecting, we're looking into the self. So the whole process of introspection, contemplation, self-evaluation even, and the ability to look at the self. I mean, we know that, don't we, as devotees? We see ourselves, sometimes painfully. There I go again. And by the way, we may never change ourselves in this life. And sometimes we shouldn't try to, by the way. Sometimes devotees try and change their nature. Well, we've got this body, we've got this mind. If I like sweet rice more than of, so be it. and I've got so many faults and dispositions and so on, but that's we stay like. But we have that ability to reflect. There's a higher self looking at a lower self, and that the animals can't do. Therefore, the human beings can do that. Potentially every human being has it, as a human being, one's situated in the mode of passion, generally speaking, and therefore you've got some passion, and some passion means that there's some ability to be reflective, even in the mode of passion, there's some of that. Goodness is really needed. But that ability for human beings to reflect, Prabhu.
Yeah, in yoga, there's one mudra named Vaishnavi mudra. This mudra is connected with the senses, with the elements, and also with the five fingers. It says that the element of ether, fire, water, like this. And the mudra is like this. You cover your eyes with these two fingers, your ears with these two, and the nose with these two, and your mouth with these two. So it's something like this.
Oh.
And this is the mudra, and you sit down and you start to meditate and you go inside, and the object of this mudra is to realize the spirit soul. So you block your senses, because this connection is very important, the elements in the head and the elements in the head. So you tap this and the yogi goes inside.
Yeah. For a devotee, good point. So there's the inner and outer. For a devotee, it's actually not much different whether it's inner or outer, because we can actually see the inner by using our outer senses. Interesting. Therefore, we've got. I mean, I was astounded the first morning I was here at Mangalarti how beautiful the altar is. And actually, it's like, it's just a direct experience. And, you know, all the kind of philosophical wranglings and everything seem to disappear at that time. It doesn't really matter. Behir nishringo, khridaye nishringo. Outside or inside. But we're practicing that process of using the spiritual senses, even if the senses are going outward. Interesting. Of course, by practice, one gets that ability then to turn the senses inward at any time. But actually, this is really mercy, that we can actually simply be using the external senses, and the senses, we're still going out through these gates, and yet somehow there is a spiritual dimension there. Very interesting. Yes, Prabhu.
Yeah, also in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that we have to take the senses like turtles, the hands and the head inside.
We have to take them?
The senses, your sense inside. Like the turtle, put the hand inside and the hands inside the...
Oh, yes, okay. Yeah, there's another example. The turtle. Yeah. The...
Restrain the senses and say something...
Kurma gani vasavashaha. Yeah, kurma. The kurma. Kurma. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there you see. One head, round body, two arms, two legs. You've got to pull them in. And therefore we practice that in the morning, when we're chanting our japa, from wherever to whatever the mind wanders, we withdraw it, bringing the senses back. That's the process. Srila Prabhupada ki chai, Grantharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki chai, go preeminent.